Good afternoon, and thank you very much for your lovely, warm welcome, matching the weather outside and the beautiful sunshine. It's a real delight to be here with you. Once per year in Parliament, the Salvation Army comes and leads us. Actually, you start our Christmas in Parliament for us, and it's always a beautiful occasion, especially with your music as well. A reading from John chapter 13, verses 21 to 32. After saying this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So while reclining next to Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After he received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you're going to do." Now, no one at the table knew why he had said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the common purse, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once." This is the gospel of the Lord. I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. What a showstopper at a dinner party. You think you have come to have a really nice meal, a really nice get-together before things get tough outside, and you think the threat is from outside, and suddenly a bombshell is dropped. Actually, it starts here. One of you will betray me. And we know later on in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus is betrayed by the kiss of a friend. A friend and disciple, someone whom have journeyed with Jesus. We do not have to go very far to hear stories of betrayal in our media. We hear stories of betrayal in relation to a child that is abused by an adult, be it a parent, a teacher, friend of the family, etc. Betrayal of the friend given a date rape drug. Betrayal of the priest or the minister of religion preying on vulnerable parishioners or people, members of their congregations in their care. Betrayal of the so-called celebrity who preys on their fans. Betrayal of the child who lives contrary to the parents' wishes. Betrayal of the trusted treasurer, who, of course, is trusted completely to look after the funds of that particular organization, but ends up siphoning it off for themselves. Betrayal of the priest who actually betrays the sacrament of marriage and marries people and gets money for it, knowing full well that they have no intention to keep the vows that they will make that day. For betrayal to impact on our lives, there has to be trust, first and foremost. There has to be a relationship between the person. Otherwise, you almost think, well, you know, we weren't expecting anything. When betrayal hits us, it is because there is trust, love, and a deep relationship. And that is why it hurts so much. Judas was a trusted friend. And let's not forget Peter in this equation, because Peter was also a deeply trusted member of that inner circle. And he too, when he said, I do not know the man, three times, that is also an act of betrayal. And what do we do with that act of betrayal? It often plunges us to the depths of depression, to the depths of our world is falling apart. This last week, we've heard the previous deputy speaker, Nigel Evans, speak about reaching the point of thinking about committing suicide. And that was also an act of betrayal by people whom he thought he had a relationship with. Whatever way we want to look at it or think about it, the act of betrayal can be a devastating blow in any relationship. And I am sure that in the relationship that Jesus shared with his disciples, it was also a devastating impact. But it also, for those who betray, for those who take part in that act of betrayal, it also does something to them. It is not just the person who you betray that it hurts. This week, last week, I gave the last rites to a young woman who died of cancer. She had cancer over 25 years ago, went into remission, met and married someone who was from another country, decided he wanted to go back to his home country in the Caribbean. And so she sold up her home, bought a new home, was told, oh, you know, because you've not been living here, the home has got to be in my name. And so trust and love, she does it. She goes back there, and within a year, she is back home. It all falls apart. And so she came back here, no home, no nothing, just her children. And sadly, she died last week. An act of betrayal that actually she couldn't even speak about. She began to write, but couldn't find the words to actually say, this had happened to me, and this is how pained I am by it. And so she dies, but thankfully with her children around her and other members of her family around her. When we betray someone, it impacts on us too. And that is why we hear that Judas went out and tried to hang himself. We have another sort of colloquial way of dealing with this. We say, what goes around comes around. Or we also say, they will get their comeuppance. Because you cannot enter into that act of betrayal and not be damaged by it yourself. So what is the reason for that betrayal? Why? We often, when we dig deeper, discover at the heart of that betrayal a depth of selfishness. A depth of selfishness that says, I want this. I want. And in the process of I want, there is no care given to what the other person wants. There is no care given to what might be good for the rest of the group, for the child in that situation where the child is abused. There is no thought given to what might the other person feel about this. Those wonderful words that Jesus shared with that young man once when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. You see, when we think about other people, we must think, would I have liked that to happen to me? And a failure to put ourselves in that position means that we think only about what we want at that moment without a care for what the other person desires or what is good for the other person. And so in fulfilling our own desires, we lose our humanity, a part of our humanity, because we fail to take into consideration the other person's humanity. Last week, when we marked the 20th year of the genocide in Rwanda, I saw on the news a young man being interviewed. He had apparently killed several people. And he was asked, how did you come to do this? Why? And he said something very revealing. He said, well, you know, it was a madness, a sheer madness that allowed us to hack our neighbors to death. And so in that moment, we do not respect, we do not see the other person's humanity. We do not see the God in them. As we draw near to Good Friday, approaching Easter Sunday, we need to look at each other and see God in each other, because we're all made in the image of God. And so when we abuse each other, we're not simply abusing Tom, Pat, Mary, Jane. We're actually abusing God, because we're God's children. And so you and I need to find a way, as we reach out to one another, to know and to understand that we are actually touching God. We're touching the hem of his garment. We're embracing God in each other. And it is important that we are reconciled to that fact. Every time we look at each other, we must see the image of God in them. Of course, the image of God gets tarnished. Of course, the image of God gets overshadowed because of sin. But somewhere, you and I need to dig deep down so that we can touch God in each other. You and I need to dig deep down so that we can actually come to the place of forgiveness when we have been betrayed. I once said to a group that forgiveness is not an optional extra. Forgiveness lies at the heart of our faith. And actually, forgiveness is at the heart of Good Friday. For God so loved the world that he gave, in spite of the fact that we kept turning away, God just kept on forgiving and forgiving and forgiving, 70 times 7 and more. And that is what, when we come to faith, that is what we too take on board. So it's not an optional extra. We too seek to share the forgiveness of God, that we reach out, and there are times when we need to say, God, I can't find it within myself. Help me that I might be able to forgive those who have betrayed my trust. I once said to someone, I am going to forgive you because that is at the heart of my faith. And if I see you on the road and you're falling down or whatever, I will pick you up and make sure you are safe. But you will not be allowed to do that to me again. And it is important that we understand that we are called to forgive, but we're not called to put ourselves into that place where they can do the same thing again to us. but we must forgive. And so when a Christian say, I will never forgive you, that is un-Christ-like. And actually the journey that we make throughout Holy Week is a journey towards the cross. It is a journey with our Lord towards the cross. And although he knew that Judas was going to betray him, he did not reject Judas when Judas came to him. So we do not reject one another. We reach out to one another with our eyes open, our hearts open, ready to give love, to share God's love, even when we cannot find that place of our own love to offer. We reach out, and through God's love, we offer that love. So if we're going to do this Lenten period, if we're going to carry through and continue that journey to Good Friday, to Easter Sunday, then we all in our individual ways need to ask, when have been the times that I have betrayed? And how can I do something about it? During Lent this year, we have been looking at the book of James. And if you know the book of James very well, you will know it's an extremely practical book in terms of living out Christianity. You see, the fault that we have is that we fail to understand that Christianity is not an optional extra either. It's not something we do on a particular day of the week. Christianity is a way of life, a way of life. And in the book of James, James speaks to us about our tongues, and the dangers. You know, the way we glibly say things that we know full well that we would not dare to say in front of each other. And just the challenge of how might we as God's children learn to curb our tongues? How might we as God's children learn how to speak to one another? When somebody comes to us and says something, instead of taking it back to somebody else and carrying on the sort of Chinese whispers, then, you know, we could say to the person, and what is this information for? That might just shock them. And why do you share this information? What would you like me to do with this information? It would stop them in their tracks. Instead of taking it and passing it on, guess what, who said, you know, let's behave like the children of God. I think it is John Sentamu, who the Archbishop of York, who tells the story of preparing children for confirmation. And he said to them in his sermon, what was the words that was heard at Jesus' baptism? And one child puts a hand up and said, now that you're a child of God, behave like one. So not this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, but now that you're a child of God, behave like one. So you and I must behave like the children of God. And we use this period of Lent, we use this period of Holy Week to behave like children of God, recognizing the cost of betrayal and knowing that we must forgive, knowing that we've got to trust, knowing that we have got to love, knowing that we have got to lay aside selfishness. Amen. Let me just say this prayer with you before we go into our song. Lord Jesus, you were betrayed by the kiss of a friend. Be with those who are betrayed and slandered and falsely accused. You knew the experience of having your love thrown back in your face for mere silver. Be with families which are torn apart by mistrust or temptation. To you, Jesus, who offered your face to your betrayer, be honor and glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. I've chosen Hark My Soul, It Is the Lord, because there is one particular verse It's all very beautiful, but there is one particular verse that I've learned since childhood, which really means a lot to me. Can a woman's tender care cease towards the child she bare? Yes, she may forgetful be, yet will I remember thee. Hark, my soul, it is the Lord.